Hello and welcome to the Monday, May 3rd, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Bangalore, India. White Hat Security did release yesterday its website security statistics report. This is always a very good reading. Now, to understand this data, one has also to understand that this is collected from White Hat Security customers that pay White Hat Security to monitor their websites for vulnerabilities. So these are customers that are already spending quite a bit of money to monitor their websites and are somewhat security aware. So essentially they went through the first step where they realized they had a problem and it's worth hiring someone. This does not cover the vast majority of websites that are probably in worse shape because they haven't even realized yet how severe the problem is. Overall, the numbers that sort of surprised me is that 86% of websites have at least one serious vulnerability throughout 2012. The report does cover 2012, and it does take an extremely long time, in my opinion, to fix these vulnerabilities. They say an average of 193 days to fix the vulnerability. Interestingly, entertainment and media is very quick in fixing these vulnerabilities, 33 days, and healthcare, for example, is quite slow, 276 days. Education, even slower, but that didn't surprise me there too much. One thing that I observe in education is that you have a lot of sort of homegrown websites there that, of course, are harder and slower to fix because, well, the person who wrote it may no longer be around. As far as the different vulnerabilities go, cross-site scripting, of course, is right up there as the most common serious vulnerability. Again, I have mentioned that before, cross-site scripting is often underestimated, so calling a cross-site scripting a serious vulnerability, I think that certainly makes sense depending on where the cross-site scripting is and how it could possibly be exploited. I was a little bit surprised that cross-site request forging didn't show up more prominently. They're saying 7%. It is one of the more common vulnerabilities, but I would have expected more than 7% of the vulnerabilities to be actual cross-site request forging vulnerabilities. As far as comparing this report to prior years' reports, one of the good things here is that the number of vulnerabilities per website keeps decreasing, which is nice. And well, SQL injection fell out of the top 10 vulnerabilities. It's now only number 14 in White Hat's list. So with all the attention being paid to SQL injection, that's kind of a nice progress here. And then, of course, being interested myself in educating developers, it's nice to see that organizations that do provide training to their developers had 40% less vulnerabilities and did resolve vulnerabilities 60% faster. Now, they also have a remediation rate that's 12% lower. My excuse here would be that the vulnerabilities that are leftovers are harder to fix because, well, the easy ones were already fixed during the development process. The link to the full report will be again in the show notes. Really makes a good reading if you are interested in web application security. And while we're talking about web application security, new advisory is published by Break Security with some details about OAuth vulnerabilities that came up in Facebook and Instagram. The vulnerabilities have been fixed, and Break Security is actually stating that Facebook was very nice to work with, and even before the Instagram acquisition was finalized, was working with Break Security to actually get the details, and then once they had the ability to fix the vulnerabilities very quickly. With OAuth, one of the critical parameters that has to be verified is the redirect URI. It should be limited to a particular domain of the application's owner. In this case, in the test that Break Security did, this would have been breaksec.com. It turns out that with Instagram, it was possible to add an additional layer to this URL. Now, this initially may not sound as a bit vulnerability. You can't really register .com.net or .com.org fairly easily. However, what Break Security found is that there are some country-level domains that do allow .com subdomains. So, for example, they were able to register breaksec.com.mx, essentially the Mexican version of breaksec.com, and were able to, with that domain, bypass some of the OAuth protections in Instagram. We had a number of OAuth vulnerabilities in the past, so if you are implementing OAuth, I think it's really important that you look at some of these past vulnerabilities so you don't repeat the same mistakes. And then, not directly related to web application security, there is an important update in StrongSwan, the open source VPN implementations. Turns out that if you used Elliptic Curve DSA signatures, that they were not properly validated, and an empty or zeroed out or an otherwise invalid signature was handled as a legitimate one. So this is certainly something that you do need to fix, and it only affects implementations that used the OpenSSL crypto backend, which I believe is quite common in Linux StrongSwan implementations. So definitely a double check if you are using this for your IPsec implementation. Well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday, unless my travel plans get disrupted, and then, well, I'll talk to you again on Tuesday.